knowledge right there. That's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And word of knowledge is when all of a sudden it can happen in your personal life. Doesn't have to be a minister, but in this case, I'm a minister, and where the Lord reveals something to me that I didn't otherwise know. And I wasn't thinking that direction. As I kept playing, it just dropped into my spirit. And so whoever that's for, just ask him to forgive you and go on. Praise God. Aren't you glad he doesn't beat you up? Aren't you glad he doesn't hammer you? Doesn't make you feel bad about yourself? No, he loves you. Praise God, he loves you. Well, let's open our Bibles, if we would, to Malachi chapter 3. Of course, this is our last service concerning finances. And I have to just stress, if you haven't been here for all of them, they've been 4 weeks in a row. I encourage you to go look at them online. Or I should say go listen to them. They're not much to look at, but go listen to them. Because God wants to bring you into more. And God wants to bring you into better financially. And Jesus said that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Because when the gospel's preached to the poor change. They're not poor anymore. But we got to do it his way. We got to do it the way that he said to do it in the Word. And, you know, it changes your perspective when you realize God put it in here not to take from you. God put it in here to supply for his kingdom, but also to bless you. And so we've been looking at Malachi chapter 3, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on review because we want to get going. But it just says in verse 8, will a man rob God? It seems silly to ask that question, doesn't it? Will a man rob God? I know that there's people in churches all over the world that need something from God. There's people all over the world that need. I got to stick up for my mom here. She was in the nursery with the kids. She's just not late, and you know can't you know, man, that pastor's mom. No, she's with the kids, so always got to stick up for my mom. Don't talk bad about my mom being late. I'm just messing. But anyways, people all over the world that want God to bless them. They want God to do something in their finances. They want God to do something in their marriage. They want God to do something for their kids. They want God to do something for their businesses. They want on and on and on. Yet they rob him. You say, how have they robbed me? Tithes and offerings, right? And, you know, really you're robbing God from the opportunity to bless you. You're robbing God from the opportunity to see his kingdom advanced. And so we need to be faithful. And we see in verse 10, it tells us to bring all the tithes, all the 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Of course, that's God's heart, to provide for the kingdom. And then he says, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And then in verse 12, we brought this out. It says, and, so it's included with the context here, talking about tithes and offerings, all nations shall call you blessed. What's that mean? Everybody that sees you, if you participate in tithes and offerings, the mark of your life is going to be blessing. Not just financially. See, people, finances are the lowest of the lowest blessings. Say, what do you mean? I'd trade all the money in the world to make sure my kids are healthy. Those are true blessings. I'd trade all the money in the world to make sure my kids are protected in a heartbeat. I'd trade all the money in the world to be in God's perfect will, to where I know it's going to work for the church. It's going to work for my life. And so, when it says all nations shall call you blessed, it doesn't just mean your checkbook. All areas, your family, your kids, your businesses, everything you put your hand to will prosper. But see, that only happens for the one that is faithful. That only happens for the one that actually brings the tithe and brings the offering. Hallelujah. And so we looked at that. And then we saw in verse 8, we saw that it says tithes and offerings. So the first 2 weeks we spent on the tithe. Last week we started the offering, and today we're going to finish up on the offering. And the offering is anything that's above what? The 10%, right? The offering is anything that's increased over the 10%. So if you made $100, we know 10% belongs to God, and we bring that by faith. But then the offering that God says you're robbing him in verse 8 is anything above the 10%. And the thing we looked at last week was, well, how much do you know what to give? God makes it easy with the tithe, doesn't he? Even a goofball like me can figure out what a tithe is. And so he makes it easy with the tithe. But concerning the offering, he says, as you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, as you purpose in your heart. When it comes to the offering and the amount of an offering that you're to give, now the tithe is non-negotiable. Don't try to change it. God's already said it. But the offering is up to you. You have the choice of how much you bring to church. You have the choice of how much offering on top of the 10% to bring. But we looked at something, didn't we? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. This will be the only review we'll do. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Concerning the offering. I want to show you something. Now, remember, my pages are falling out here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, the context of it, if you're not here, let me tell you, it's talking about, it's Paul talking to a church that's getting ready to take up a special offering for what they're doing. Of course, they're already bringing their tithes and their offerings to their own church, but this is a special offering that this minister, Paul, the two-thirds writer of the New Testament, is talking about bringing. So he talks in chapter 8 and chapter 9 about bringing the offering, and here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. He gets done telling them to bring it. He gets done telling them that they need to do this, that it's important to do this. He says in verse 6, he says, but this I say, now he's telling them before they're taking up their offering, he says, but I need to remind you of something before you take this offering up. I'll tell you, what a bold preacher to tell people this. He said, but before you take up this offering, I want to remind you that he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Amen? That means the more generous you are, the more blessed you'll be. The less generous you are, the less blessed you'll be. And in our natural minds, that doesn't make sense. It would seem that if we would hold on to it, that that'd be the way to increase. Oh, man, problem is people are gripping it to death, and it's only leading to death in their life and then death in their finances. I don't necessarily mean natural death. I mean death in their finances. But Paul said, if you'll sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Amen? And so we saw last week that the offering is anything above the 10% that you purpose in your heart, but that it pays to be generous. Amen. You know, Proverbs 11, 24 says, he that scatters, or he that waters will be watered himself, right? It says, there is one that scatters and they increase. And there's one that withholds more than is right and it leads to poverty. And that's that mentality. The devil will get you into fear to say, don't give. Don't be a blessing. Don't you dare bring that tithe. And then on top of the tithe, bring an offering. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And the devil will tell you that, and your finances will go down, down, down. The people that I know that have, when I say it this way, the most butterfingers, and what's the butterfingers? It just goes right through their hands. If God can get it through you, God will get it to you. And it's so true. The ones that are just always give, 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 and are blessings, they're the most blessed people that I know in my life, and that includes Christians and non-Christians. Sowing and reaping works for all of them. So we saw that it pays to be generous. The offering is up to you. God didn't say, okay, bring a tithe and then bring a tenth part for an offering as well. No, he said, as you purpose in your heart. But we saw last week that we're starting to, and we're going to look at today, that there's two ways to bring an offering. Number one, what you decide to bring. You can, in your heart, say, you know what? I think I'm going to give this today. You can do that as you purpose in your heart. But also, the second way to bring an offering, and people need to be aware of this, and people need to be sensitive to this, because the biggest harvest that I've ever seen in my life giving have been when God has specifically told me to give something. And we're going to look today in the Word that God will specifically speak to people concerning something to give. And a lot of times you'll find it's a sacrifice, but what it opened up for them, the floodgates opened for them, and there was major increase. And the reason I'm pointing this out to you is because we need to be Spirit-led Christians. Not just Spirit-led in what we do with jobs or where we go to school or the spouse that we pick or big decisions, where do we live, what house do we buy, is this the right car? Those things we need to be Spirit-led on, but we need to be Spirit-led in our giving. And if God is telling us to do something specific, or if God in the future, he doesn't always tell me what to bring on Sunday morning. There's a lot of times I just purpose in my heart and I do my best to make sure that it's generous according to the income that we have. But then there's times where God has tapped me on the shoulder, not literally, but in my spirit and said, give this. And man, it stretched me and it's taken faith, but I know I've heard from heaven and I do it and I just can't describe to you about the increase that comes. And I'll try to describe it a little bit later as best as I can. Excuse me. But I want to show you in the Word that it's biblical. Because don't take my word for anything, especially when it comes to the subject of money. Because you know, people have gotten in trouble with money. Churches have closed down because of money problems. You know, people have manipulated. You turn the TV on, you'll find people manipulating you, trying to get your money out of your pocket. That you got to give this with this certain amount of time. Man, turn that off. Turn that off. Because when it comes to giving, you purpose in your heart, or just obey God. Don't let anybody tell you what you have to give. Now, the tithe, I'm not telling you have to do that. The Bible's telling you that what God's view is on the tithe. And still, that's between you and God and what you want to do. But when it comes to the offering, it's as you purpose in your heart, or if God tells you to do something, Just obey him. Why? In the obedience is the blessing. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. I'm going to show you two examples from the Bible. Hallelujah. Remember the word that came to me? I'm now up to four people that have come up to me and said, Pastor, God has spoken to me about what I'm to do. And I tell them, obey God. Because that's where the blessing is. But the word of the Lord came to me, remember? In my office before I went to Canada, as I was praying, he said, I'm going to be laying amounts on people's hearts, specific amounts, to sow into the building program. And he said, if they'll do it, the reward will be open. What's an open reward? One that's evident by all. People can see it. But he stressed to me in my spirit, it was a pressing that I needed to tell people. He said, because there's people that have already been told that they didn't recognize that it was God, or they won't know that it's God, because a lot of times you think, man, I must have lost my mind, but God's trying to get you into something. And so we've had four people now come up to me and said that it's happened, and just be open to that. If God speaks to you, just obey him. It's because he wants to bless you. So 1 Kings 17, verse 1, we're going to read this, and I want to show you something here. It'll be a blessing to you. And Elijah the Tishbite. Aren't you glad you're not a Tishbite? Yeah. Pastor Mike the Tishbite. I'm glad I'm not one of them. It says, who was an inhabitant of the Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now this is Elijah. Now remember, if you don't know, Elijah was a prophet of God. In the Old Testament, it was the prophets that God spoke to. God would speak to the prophets, and then the prophets would obey what God would say to do, and then great blessing would come onto the land. So in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1, it says, Elijah, that guy Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now notice this. This is important. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, or get away from here, and turn thee eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now notice this, God told him, because there was going to be no rain, he said to go this place. In verse 4, and it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. See, don't put God in a box of how he's going to get your provision. No, this will help people. Don't put God in a box. People say, the worst thing you can say is, Pastor, I'm on a fixed income, and I want to say, who fixed it? God's not limited by your monthly paycheck. God's not limited by your monthly salary. People say, well, I can only be blessed according to here. Well, he got fed by ravens, a human being. Ravens came and brought him food. That's not normal. You know, there's a famine in the land. The stores are closing down. God will get it to you another way. He's faithful. So always keep your faith in God and not your provision. Don't keep your faith in your paycheck. Your paycheck's subject to change. Your business is subject to change. Keep your faith in God. And we've brought this out the last few Wednesday nights. You want to know how well you know God? What would happen if your income was shut off right now and it was no sign that it was going to be turned back on? What would your demeanor be? Would it be, praise God, he'll get it to me another way? Or would you sulk? Would you complain? Would you worry? Would you be on the phone? Would you be wringing your hands? Would you be losing sleep? Would you be panicking? If you're any of those people, that tells me you don't know God as well as you should. And that tells me that you think that your provision is based on that paycheck and that job and that business, whatever you're associated with. And so your faith needs to be in God, because when the natural rocks and reels and changes, he never does. Amen? The economy might do something, businesses might do something, your job might do something, but he doesn't do something. He stays firm, he stays prosperous, and he stays ready and willing to bless you. Amen? So that's a good way to test if you know God or not. If I don't have any money coming in, what's my reaction? If it's sad and gloomy and doom, you better learn to know God a little bit better. But anyway, so I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So verse 5, he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread, just like God said, and flesh or meat in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Oh, see, is the prophet going to panic now? The brook dried up. No, see, he understands and knows God. It'll come a different way now. It'll come a different way. I love this. I love this story. It says, and the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now notice this. And dwell there, or live there. Behold, I have commanded or instructed a widow woman there to sustain you. So now, when Elijah would get that word from God, many thoughts could go through his mind. First of all, if she's a widow, she doesn't have any, back in those days, the men were the breadwinners. And the men were the ones doing the work. And he knows instantly this is probably a poor person. She's a widow. She's probably got children, which means that's going to stretch her thin. And she doesn't have a husband who's not bringing in any income. And you're telling me to go live there? But you know what? He knew God. He obeyed God. And so he arose, verse 10, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her. Now, did God tell him to go to this woman? He did, right? So everything Elijah is doing is God ordained or God mandated or God instructed. He says, as she was going to fetch it, or no, let's go verse 10. And so he rose to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So he's asking her for some water. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, now this is great. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Why? He's obeying God. He knows she's my provision. So he's going there and being bold and saying, bring me some water, bring me some food. I know you're my supply. Well, look at what it says in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, basically saying, as the Lord knows this, I don't have a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Now, you're going to find out the dire situation of this woman. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it or make it. What? The handful of meal and the little oil that I may make it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She says, I have one meal left. It's for me and my son. And after that, we have nothing coming in. We have nothing in reserve. And you have to eat to live. This is the last thing we got. We're basically going to have a last meal, and then we're going to die. That's who God sent the prophet to have him take care of him. Yep. Talk about having faith in God. Amen. So anyways, and Elijah said unto her, now I love the boldness of this minister. I'll tell you, that would be tempting to pull on somebody's heartstrings there. Imagine the Lord telling you to go to somebody, they're going to provide for you, and you go to them and say, where's my provision? And they tell you, well, the provision that you think is yours is actually for me and my son, and it's all we have, and we're actually going to die after. Would that tend to pull on your heartstrings to say, yeah, you know what, you eat it, and I'll just run off and see what I can do for you? That's what would be tempting to me, but not Elijah. He says, and Elijah said to her, don't fear. Go and do as you said, but make me, therefore, a cake first. Whew, that's bold. He ain't moved by emotion. He says, I know you're telling me you're dire. I know you have one meal left, but give me my provision first. Hallelujah. And bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. Well, now you're talking about three people eating off something small. So now he's telling her, listen, do it for me first, but my portion is going to cut into your portion, which is going to make your last portion. You're going to die hungry. At least you could have died at least a little bit full at first. Now you're going to die hungry faster. And so anyways, now this is what I want you to see here. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse 14. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Remember she had a handful of it? And Elijah's saying, if you do this, the barrel of meal will never waste. It'll never go empty. The barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And once the rain sends rain upon the earth, the famine would end, and then things would get back up for prosperity and for people's, for food and for the economy and for produce and all that agriculture. But he says, if you'll do it, the barrel of meal won't waste during this famine, and the cruse of oil won't fail, if you'll do that. No, he said, if you'll do that. Now here's what it said in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. But was that really the saying of Elijah, or was that the saying of God? It was the saying of God. God spoke to Elijah, go to that woman. She's going to provide for you. So he did. He was faithful. And he went to her. And it's just like what I said, offerings are one of two things. You decide in your heart, or there's times God will say, I want you to give this. I want you to do something specific. I've had people come tell me testimonies of when God has told them specifically to do something, and they've obeyed him, and increase in multiplication happened. Well, let's see if that happened with this woman. So God taps her on the shoulder, tells her to sow into this man. You say, well, this isn't finances. This is more than finances. This is everything she had left. When have you ever given everything that you've had? Probably never. You probably could never say, I've given everything that I have. He's asking her, give me everything you have. This is a greater sum than money. But God told her to do it, didn't he? God is telling her, do this. Make the meal. So here she is. We can have all sorts of reasons not to obey God. Yeah, but Lord, my bills. Yeah, but Lord, the gas prices. Yeah, but Lord, this is happening. Yeah, but Lord, she could have said, yeah, but Lord, this is the only meal. And that's the point. She could have held on to that only meal. And that's all she would have got. And that's what people do. They hold on to what they have, and that's all they're going to get. She didn't hold on to it. As she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now look, and she and her house, verse 15, did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. In a time of famine, her cruse of oil and her handful of meal was supernaturally multiplied by obeying God. And the Lord said, I'm going to be speaking to people. And it might not just be this case. As a Christian, be ready. Maybe it's already happened to you in your life. Be ready for God to interrupt you. And be ready and willing to obey him when he does, because he wants to. God's heart was never to take that handful of meal from her. God's heart was never to make it so her and her son couldn't have a last meal. But that, by doing that, it opened the door into multiplication and increase. And that's how God's kingdom works. There is that scatters, yet they're increased. How does that work? I don't know, but it's called God's calculator. You see, you got to factor in God's calculator when it comes to this stuff. It's called supernatural multiplication. You give, and God supernaturally multiplies it. He did it with this woman. Her cruse of oil didn't fail, and her barrel of meal didn't waste. Over and over, she had provision. Why? She obeyed God. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 5. God's specifically speaking to you. See, I want a spirit-led church. I want a church that, and God might tell you certain things that aren't specific to just this church. He might tell you to bless somebody. He might tell you to bless a family member. He might tell you to bless a traveling minister. I don't know what all God's going to tell you to do, but I want people to be spirit-led, because if you'll obey God in those things, and you'll be able to hear his voice, that still small voice, if you'll obey those things when it comes to the least of things with money, when God needs to move you and spare your life, or to get you to not make that decision that you could go the wrong way, that could cost your family, could cost your situation, when God wants to do that to you, you need to be able to obey him, be able to hear. And so I want spirit-led Christians. Praise God. So Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, I want to show you the second example. Now this is Jesus. So the first one, we saw it the way it's done in the Old Testament. The second one, we're going to see it done in Jesus. And then the third way is us. That God doesn't use a prophet, doesn't have to use a prophet anymore, doesn't have to use Jesus, because Jesus isn't here. You don't need a prophet to tell you what to do. You have the Holy Ghost. We do need the ministry of the prophet. Don't misunderstand me. But God can speak to your spirit. Amen? For me to be successful in life, I'm thankful I can hear from heaven myself. Glory to God. Luke chapter 5, in verse 1. That's why I won't stand up here and manipulate money out of you and say, you know, God told me in my office that each of you were supposed to do this. Man, God, I'd get out of your will, and I'd just hope I'd be struck down as soon as possible to not lead people astray. But no, I said what he said to me, that he'd speak to you. So let him speak to you about it. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1 says, it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, who also was Peter. And he prayed, or he requested of him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, here's what you first have to understand about this. It's revealed later in this story, but in this situation, when he asks Peter, can I use your boat to preach? Peter had just come back from working the overnight shift and fishing. And you're going to read here in a second, he didn't have success. And their income back then, Peter's income back then, he was a fisherman. That's where he got his income. So imagine going to work all night for free. That's what he did. You wouldn't come home very happy. You probably wouldn't come home working overnight very happy at all anyways, because you're tired and you want to go to sleep. And Jesus is now saying, Peter, I need your boat. And they know this guy is long-winded. Jesus doesn't just get up there and do three poems or 3 points in a poem and get done. He preaches. One time, it said the multitude was with Jesus for days and had nothing to eat. They went days listening to him preach. They soaked it up. They loved it and didn't have any food. And that's when they had the supernatural multiplication of the fish and the bread, loaves of bread. And Jesus had compassion. He said, I'm not sending them, when he was done with his ministry, he said, I'm not sending them away hungry. And so there's supernatural provision here. But here he's asking Peter, just be willing to say, Lord, my checkbook is yours. My life is yours. My family's yours. My business is yours. My wallet's yours. The dollar bills in my pocket are yours. My life is yours. My bags are packed, Lord. Be willing to always do whatever he wants you to do. Why? That's where the blessing is. And so he asked Peter, instead of Peter saying, oh, can you get somebody else's boat? I'm tired. I got to clean my nets. I still got to dock this boat and do everything, go home and all this stuff and deal with my family. And he didn't say this. It's yours, Lord. And so now it says in verse 4, when he left speaking, he said to Simon, now he's done preaching. Now remember, when God asks you to do something, it's never for the purpose to make your life miserable. God's purpose this day was not, it was twofold, just like, and I've never seen that before, it was twofold. It was kingdom and it was for Peter. Just like the tithe is for the kingdom and for the individual. Never saw that before until just now, but you'll see what I mean in a second. Just got revealed to me in my spirit. His purpose wasn't to make Peter's life miserable, to make him more tired, to have to put his boat back in the water and to be a drag unto Peter. No. He said, number one, what? He wanted to minister, which was going to advance the kingdom of God. Now, he says, Jesus always, in the tithe, he says, bring it so there's provision, and I'll open the windows of heaven for you. Give, and it'll be given back to you. God's heart is always to make sure the kingdom's provided, but to get you blessed. And now God says, Peter, it's your turn now. Now, when he had left speaking, verse 4, that means when he's done preaching, he had a salvation call, kind of paraphrasing, there was no salvation call because Jesus didn't die, but that's the end of our service, so that's why I said it was the end of his service. And so he said, he left speaking. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, Simon. So Simon's probably thinking, whoo, finally he said amen, it's over. It's probably how some of you feel sometimes. He finally said amen, it's over. And he didn't say bring the boat back. He said, launch out into the deep, Simon, and let your nets down for a draw, or that's the blind us in the King James, for a catch. So now he says, don't bring the boat back, but go out further, which means we're going to take longer to get back. It's even longer before you're getting into your nice warm bed. He said, launch out even further and let your nets down that you were already cleaning. Let them down and get them dirty again. Now, can you imagine what Peter could have said? Master, I've let you use my boat. You preached your sermon. I don't want to go fishing again. I want to go home. I'm tired. This is getting old. And he had a little bit of reasoning here. He says in verse 5, Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night. We've worked all night long. Now, we don't know how long Jesus' sermon even was. We just know that he preached long. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He's saying, Master, I've already been out to that. I know what's going on that lake. I've been there and it's not working. Nevertheless. And that's the way we need to be. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Father, I don't understand the tithe. It doesn't make sense to me that 10%, and then you said more, and then there's times you might tap me on the shoulder like you did with these people and actually stretch me in my finances. I don't get it. And it doesn't seem to make sense. And it doesn't look good for my bills. And it doesn't look good for my family. And it doesn't look good. But nevertheless, Lord, at your word, I'll do it. Yeah, I feel like sometimes we're going to get to heaven and be shamed by some of these people who are so willing to do whatever God said to them. We can't even be faithful to show up. We can't even be faithful to serve when we're supposed to. We can't even be faithful in the little things. And these people, Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham to get away from your family, to get away from your friends, everything you know, and go to a land that I'll show you. He didn't even tell him the land. He said, start walking. That's right. And Abraham, what did he do? Okay, got to do it. God told Abraham, take your son up on a hill and put a knife through him and set him on fire. Okay, God will do it. God's heart was never to kill his son. God's heart was never to make Abraham wander around and be lost. Abraham left. He became the richest man on planet Earth. He was rich in cattle, silver, and gold. Remember, he was about to kill Isaac, and the Lord said, "Stop! I don't want you to kill your son. I wanted to see how obedient you'd be to me. And because you've done this, you are now going to walk into extreme blessing." And I feel like maybe we'll get to heaven someday and just be absolutely shamed by some of these people. Let's not make that so. Let's say, okay, I've been unfaithful in a few things. I haven't obeyed. I'm going to start obeying. I want to get to heaven, and I want to be people look at me and say, that's somebody that when God spoke, he listened. Just like we're bragging about Peter, I think it's so awesome that he says, "Master, we've done this. We've fished. We've been here for hours, and we've got nothing, and I'm a professional fisherman, sir. You're a carpenter," right? Jesus' profession wasn't fishing. Peter was the pro, and Jesus is saying fish, and it'd be like me trying to tell my wife how to shop better. That'd be stupid. And it's really naturally dumb for Jesus to say, go back to fishing. Tell him the professional fisherman who's just out there all night and didn't get anything. It's dumb. It's dumb sometimes what God will speak for you to do naturally. It's stupid to start a church in Oleum. It takes me an hour to get there and start in a town that I've hardly ever been. It's stupid, but nevertheless, at your word. It's dumb to start a church in a town of 600 people naturally. It's dumb. There's lots of towns that are bigger, but nevertheless, at your word. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Now let's look at the result. There it is again, God tapping you on the shoulder saying, give this. Give me your boat and do what I say. Everything Peter had was God's. Jesus, you need my boat, it's yours. Jesus, you need my body, it's yours. Jesus, you need someone to do that for the church, I'm yours. Jesus, there's a hole in this ministry in the church, I'll fill it. I always love it. I'm going to get on the soapbox a little bit. I always love when you ask people to do something in the church, they say, look, I'll pray about that. You don't need to pray about it. If your pastor asks you to do something that needs to be done in the church, that's God telling you there's a need. That's God. I'm not saying I'm God telling you, but when there's something that goes undone in the church, you don't need to pray about, well, pastor asked if I should do that, nobody's doing it. God's not going to tell you not to help. You understand what I mean by that? My heart, my attitude was, Lord, whatever you need. When my pastor spoke, I said, how high, how far, what do you want me to do? Now, understand me. Let's put it back in the middle of the road. Let's not get in the ditch of drinking the Kool-Aid. You know what I mean by that? Like, yeah. Listen, I'm talking about church stuff. Like, hey, we need people to clean. Hey, we need some help in the nursery. Hey, we need somebody to help at an event we have. Well, let me pray about that. What are you going to pray about? To hear God tell you, yes, they need help. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, pastor said for me to give all my money, and Pat, you're not going to hear me getting into Jim Jones Kool-Aid stuff. Amen? I'm telling you to obey God, but it's because we don't want to get in that place where, man, we're borderline cultish here. That's not what I mean. Let's not twist this, and let's not let the devil get in there and say, that's kind of strange, do whatever your pastor says, in reason with the Word of God. I mean, I'm telling you to tithe. You should do that. That's biblical, right? The Bible says to serve. You should serve. We all should be serving in some capacity. The Bible says to do so. So don't twist my word and say, pastor's trying to get me to do weird things. No, not weird things, Bible things. But let's see what happened. And when they had done this, what obeyed God? They enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net broke. Now this is what's awesome about this. It says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came. One second here. Hold on. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled, look at this, both ships. So they began to sink. Now look at this in verse 8. When Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. Have you ever gotten so blessed you're just like, I don't deserve this? You ever been there? And you just want to just repent for everything you've ever done even before you were saved because you just can't believe how good it is? That's God for you. But look at what's so, you know what's neat about this? If you could go back to verse 4, I want to show you something. This should have been a bigger blessing than what Peter experienced. This is why it's important to obey God in everything he says, even the smallest things. Now when Simon left speaking, he said to him, launch out in the deep and let down your net. Does it say that? Or does it say let down your nets? Jesus told him to let down more than one. Didn't he? He said Jesus was specific. He didn't mix up his words. He knew he had more than one. Why? Jesus wanted to fill all of them. He said, let down your nets. Now look at verse 5. Let's see if Peter obeyed. He obeyed to a measure. He says, and Simon answered, said, Master, we have toiled all night, nevertheless taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. God wanted to fully bless him. Do you see it there? Now, he got blessed as far as God could take him. But God wanted to even take every single net that he had. Or wait, no, maybe that's just mixed up. Nope, it's specific. He said, Peter, God never just wants to do just a little for you. God wants to do a lot for you. But it takes your obedience. Amen? And he said, Peter, let down the nets. Peter let down the net. But he did. And anyways, in verse 7, it says that, in verse 6, it tells us, I'm sorry, verse 6, when they'd done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net broke. So it was singular. They only let down one net. They should have let down all the nets. I'm telling you, everybody on shore should have rushed out there and thrown as many nets into the water. We're not going to take time to go there because I'm going to close the message now. But along these lines, and about obeying God, do you remember the story in the Old Testament with the widow woman? Her didn't have any income, and she had a great debt. And so back then, to pay off their debts, they would take the kids. And they would take the kids and hire them out for labor. And when they would take the kids and hire them out for labor, that'd be like the pay. They'd work off the debt. So the mother did not want to lose her kids to being like slaves. Well, she was stressed out. I can imagine what a mom would be. I imagine myself as a dad if they wanted to take my kids away to pay my debts. And this was going to happen to her. And she didn't have anything. And the prophet came to her and said, she said, I only have a little bit of oil in one little jar. And the prophet said to her, go and borrow empty vessels from neighbors. And he said, when you do that, take what you have and dump it into all these empty vessels. And when you dump into these empty vessels, you're basically going to see something. Now, that didn't seem normal to do, but she obeyed God. They told her, go get empty vessels. So she went and got out a bunch of empty vessels, came back. She started dumping the little bit she had, and it never ran out. And it kept filling up. And those vessels were able to be used for income to pay off her debt. Again, God told her to do something specific that didn't make sense. Now, what she should have done is she should have called everybody in the whole area and said, I need your vessels. Because the Bible says the oil stopped when the vessel stopped. So she should have just kept bringing them just like the nets. God wanted to fill all the nets. God wants to do so much for you. That's why if he tells you to do something, don't cut it in half. Don't say, well, I'll do a quarter of that. No, your blessing will be dependent upon by the measure of what you sow. God wants it big for you all the time. So according to that word that the Lord gave to me, be open to that. But be open because God will tap you on the shoulder in your walk as a Christian to see if he can have you obey for the kingdom's purposes and also to see you get extremely blessed. Amen? So that's what it comes down to with the offering. You choose what to do with it unless God says, no, I want you to do this. And he's done that to me many times. And I'll close with this story. I was in California. It would have been last June. Not this past June, but the June before that. Before we were moved into our house. And Dr. Dufresne out there is a minister that I receive a lot from. They're building a Bible school out there. And the Lord told me, specifically in a service. Now, I have to preface something. You have to be spirit-led to do something like this. Do you know when that woman went and borrowed those vessels, she went into debt to increase, didn't she? Now, God will do that, but you better know that's God. Or you might be stuck paying a debt that you're not supposed to pay for. Well, because she could have broke those vessels and she would have owed. She could have misplaced them. She owed those people those vessels back. God told her to do that. Lord told me in a service, and I'm just telling you specifically how it happened. This isn't to get you to do this. We don't even have a credit card machine here. We don't have ways to do this. You can only give what you have anyways. I'm just telling you what happened to me in the service. They were taking up an offering, and this was when our house was in the balance, and we didn't know whether we were going to get it or not, and it was a whole lot of things that said we shouldn't have got it. And I was in that service in California, and we had, this was when Courtney had just left her job, because in May she quit her job. We're down to one income. We don't have a whole lot of money. We're believing God every month. And he tells me in the service, sow $1,000 into that building fund. And I said, I don't have a checkbook with me that even has $1,000 in it. And I don't have any cash on me that's $1,000. He said, you got your credit card, and they have credit card machines out there and that you can put on there because some people give monthly, and it's just easier than writing a check out, and that's why they do that. I said, okay, Lord, I'll obey you. I knew it was $1,000, and I sowed that, and he spoke to me. He said, you wait and see what happens with your house, and if you have over in that building, I shared my house testimony. It's an absolute miracle from God. Absolute financial multiplication miracle, just things working out that should have never worked out. Do I believe that would have ever happened had I not obeyed God? Absolutely not. I don't believe it. Just like that woman would have never had more meal and more oil. Just like Peter's nets would have never been busted open. He got the biggest harvest of fishing. He had the best fishing experience in 5 minutes with Jesus than he spent 24 hours all night long in doing it. By obeying God, right? Would that have happened to Peter had he not launched out? Nope. He would have went back to shore and went home. That woman would have ate that last meal and she would have done exactly what happened. She would have died. Lord said, give $1,000 towards your home. See, whatever you're believing God for, sometimes you need to sow a seed for that thing. Dr. Dufresne is so good. He says, every time I go to build buildings and stuff, he goes, I always make sure to sow into other buildings. Why? Because you'll reap. You'll reap, and then there's always provision. So the point is, obey God. Obey God. Amen? Don't be tricked by manipulation on TV. Don't be tricked by people. Make sure it's the Word. But we've pointed out that God will tell you to do certain things that'll stretch you, but man, if he can get you to obey it. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, you're never trying to take from people, never. You're never trying to rob from people. You're never trying to make people be in lack. Lord, it looked so mean that you would tell that woman to feed the prophet first. On the surface, it looked mean. It looked harsh. But Lord, the heart behind the whole thing was blessing. Lord, it looked cruel and it looked unusual and it looked horrible for you to tell Abraham to kill his only son who he believed and got him when he was 100 years old. That looked cruel. That looked like God was something wrong with God. But Father, the heart behind the whole thing was to bless him. Father, it looked like you were just trying to annoy Peter and cause him trouble and to give him a hard time and to make his day longer. When the heart behind the whole thing is you wanted to see Peter go home with nets full of fish. That's your heart, Father. Lord, you love these people in this room so much. Father, you desire that they increase financially. You said in 3 John verse 2, you said that you wish above all things that we would prosper. Just like I have a desire to see my kids walk into more. I have a desire to see my kids have all their needs supplied, to see my kids increase, to see my kids be in joy and to have peace and to have good things. How much more do you desire that for us? And Father, I thank you that you tap us on the shoulder at times. I thank you that you speak into our lives. And Father, I just pray that you'd open people's eyes. Father, you know my heart. I've already settled this with you in the back room. Lord, that when I preach a sermon like this, it's not for personal gain. It's not for manipulation. Lord, I am a lover of people. That's why I'll go and start churches anywhere you tell me to go, Father. I'll go to Pittsburgh. I'll go to Philadelphia. I'll go to Florida. I don't care. I'll fly back and forth every night, Father. You know I'll do it. I love people. So, Lord, I thank you that their eyes are open. I thank you that they're sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I thank you that when you do instruct them, Father, in areas like this, and it won't be all the time, Father, but when you do, I pray that they'll recognize it and that they'll obey it. And, Father, they'll walk into multiplication. They'll walk into increase, Lord. And, Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the best multiplication that you can ever have is having the multiplication and the addition of salvation into your life. And the Bible says that if you call on the name of the Lord, you're saved. That if you simply confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you're here, if you're listening by live stream, and you want to receive Jesus, and you want to accept him into your heart, you say, how do I know? Well, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Well, if the answer isn't 100% yes, that means you need Jesus. So if you're here, if you're listening to this, and you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you raise your hands if you're in this building if you want to receive Jesus? If you've already done it, you don't need to do it again. Just ask him to forgive you for whatever's tripping you up. He won't take his salvation away from you. Hallelujah. I don't see any hands, but Father, I don't know who all will listen to this. So if you're listening to this and you want to receive Jesus, just cry out to him right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead, and I ask you to come into my life. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. The moral of this story is obey God, right? Highly well, let's go out and let's get some donuts. We'll see y'all Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.